We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today we continue the discussion of the subject, humanism, man or God. Life, with its problems as well as its glories, is too often being viewed through human concepts. Recently, a teenage girl who was a cancer victim was interviewed on TV. When asked about her attitude toward life and her physical condition, expecting possible death, she replied by saying that she wanted to punch God in the nose. Whether or not this young lady realized it, we know not. But this is something of influence, directly or indirectly, of humanism. God is dethroned to the level of a human being. Man is his own God, says humanism. Ironically, to deny that man does sin magnifies the fact that man cannot be his own guide or his own God. By such humanistic self-righteous assertions, man deceives himself. And the Bible says, the truth is not in him. Furthermore, such false claim not only places man on equality with God or above God, it makes God a liar. You will read that in the Bible in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10, which says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? If humanism wins this aggressive battle they are now pressing for the minds of men, our world is headed for spiritual disaster. But I believe that is a great host of men and women of great faith and courage in our world who will stand up and be counted, expose humanism for what it is, and press the battle in Jesus' name for the salvation of souls of men. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the Church, will be living when time on earth is no more. And humanists and all unbelievers will know the reality of hell, whether or not they believe in it today. Really doesn't make that much difference. Like the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verse 8. Humanism is a system of secularism and unbelief, exalting man above everything and every being, even the supreme being, Almighty God. Humanism and secularism is man versus God. Humanism dethrones God, deifies man as God, relegates the Bible as an old, out-of-date, antiquated book, ridicules the Church of our Lord, considers salvation from sin by the atoning blood of Christ an offensive ancient theory hatched by pre-adolescent man before he advanced to the higher and more noble thinking, and it denies the supernatural origin of the universe and the divine creation of man. And he, the humanist, makes this world his world, the only world, with no other world to come. In spite of the humanistic claims of mortal men, the Bible teaches that even angels are above man. The inspired writer of Hebrews 2, verses 7 and 8 declared that, although man was crowned with glory and honor, he was made a little lower than the angels. My friends, everyone should take a close look at humanism as it really is. It is true some people consider themselves humanists because they have concern for human happiness, for human rights, and for a just and humane society of people who care and who love. These are admirable qualities of human life, but they are not to be identified as so-called Christian humanism. For one to identify humanism in its true concepts of life, one needs to take a serious look at scientific humanism, Marxist humanism, ethical humanism, and sexual humanism. The Humanist Manifesto of 1933 and the Humanist Manifesto of 1973 constitute the Bible for humanism. But my friends, are you listening? A tree is known by its fruit. And the fruits of humanism and the fruits of Christianity are in serious conflict. They are incompatible. When one recognizes humanism for what it really is, then one need not be too surprised at its fruit. A philosophy of life by which man is recognized no being, no power higher than himself, uses himself, his ideals, his standards, and his rules, and his own selfish desires and lust as his own means to an end. The fruits of materialism will be self-evident, and the fruits of humanism are self-evident. It is no marvel that humanist denies, one, the deity of God, to whom he might be accountable, of course. Two, damnation and hell, which, of course, would be very undesirable. And three, the reality of sin. Four, humanism denies that man has a soul. On the other hand, there is no need for surprise that humanists do believe in, one, no absolute morals of life, two, sexual freedom for all mankind, young and old, three, premarital sex, four, extramarital sex, five, homosexuality, six, incest, seven, obscenity, eight, pornography, nine, abortion on demand, and euthanasia, mercy killings, 11, evolution, 12, science as man's God and Savior. Like the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And humanism makes affirmation of these qualities of life which I have just mentioned. Although God the Creator gave man the authority over all things of his creation, man must not forget that God reserved the authority over man. This truth is an evidence from the very beginning of time. God planted the garden in Eden, complete with God-made irrigation system. The Bible says the river went down of Eden to water the garden. Genesis 2, verses 8 through 10. But God reserved his authority over man and woman whom he created. They were forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Perhaps a degree of humanism originated at this very time, when man disobeyed God, seeing that the tree and its fruits were pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the Bible says. That would make them as gods. You read that in Genesis 3, verses 3 through 6. When man refused to honor God as Jehovah God and submit his authority to Almighty God, he is a humanist, if you please. God has paid the price for all mankind in that he sacrificed his own son, and his son gave his life for the redemption of man from his sins. But man must pay for his sins. God's order of authority, as stated in the Bible, is in no uncertain terms, by inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, and this is what he said. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Man must never forget that God reserved the authority over man, his creation, from the beginning. It would be well for every humanist, yes, every human being, to hear these words of inspiration. Why do the nations rage, and the people meditate a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Man will pay the price for his rejection of God. Man cannot direct his own steps. Beloved, it is late in the day and a sad hour for the world when man thinks he is so wise and so intelligent that he doesn't even need God. The prophet of God, through divine wisdom, declared, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself, It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. A few seconds of a fierce, destructive power of a tornado, or the belching, uncontrollable power of Mount St. Helens, over which no man or any group of men or association of men on earth has control, should convince man that he is but the dust of the earth compared to our omnipotent God, the Creator of all nature and all power in heaven and on earth. If humanism is the answer to all the unhappiness, the sorrow and distress in the world today, why has not humanity's existence through all the centuries past eliminated itself of problems and difficulties of life? If man is so smart and powerful today, why is the world in such turmoil and distress? Does the humanist think that he is so much more intelligent and wiser today than all the wise and intelligent men of all the ages past? How arrogant and godless can man be? Marilyn O'Hara was truly speaking as a humanist recently when she stated that she would like to close every church in the country and turn every church building into a home for the aged or outpatient clinic for the sick and the lame. Incidentally, does anyone know anything about a home for the aged or a clinic for the sick and distressed established and supported by the atheist from Austin, Texas, or her humanistic supporters? Absurdity and hypocrisy. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that if humanism had its way in our society, there would be no need for homes for the aged or clinics for the infirm, the diseased, or the insane? The ultimate of humanism would be to eliminate from society the terminally ill, the diseased, and the helpless. Euthanasia, mercy killings, could become a common practice, which would eliminate the need for such care institutions, which, incidentally, might help solve the Social Security tax benefit problem. All this would mean, however, only a space for a grave in the cemetery for the weak, the diseased, and the helpless. Humanism and the care for humans should be of concern to everybody, but humanism does not necessarily mean care for humans. The advocates of humanism should take a close look at some of the behavior of some human beings toward their fellow human beings. For example, while visiting the sick in a hospital one day, I was walking down the hallway and I discovered a man on a stretcher in the hallway, bleeding and in much pain and agony. I inquired about the man and the situation, and learned that he had been accidentally shot while hunting in a field nearby. But why was he left on a cot in the hall of the hospital, bleeding and possibly near death? I was informed by a nearby nurse, who offered the man no assistance, that the authorities in the hospital were waiting for information about the man, including who would be responsible for paying the hospital bill. I was greatly disturbed and demanded where they were going to do something for the man or let him lie there and die in the hospital. After stating that I would be responsible for getting the hospital bill paid, although I did not know the man, he was taken to the emergency department and received proper medical and surgical treatment. The man lived, and the hospital bill was paid. Here is something of interest. The Associated Press recently reported an unusual case of life or death while a humanitarian act of mercy went begging for hours. Listen to this quotation. Headline: 30 burn centers refused to help victim, Baltimore, Maryland, May 9, 1982. And I'm quoting. A badly burned man was turned away from about 30 medical centers around the country because he lacked medical insurance, officials said. He was reported in critical condition Saturday at the burn center here that finally accepted him. John L. Lacey, 28, of Savannah, Georgia, was treated at Baltimore City Hospital after Georgia Governor George Busby promised financial aid from his state, hospital spokesman said. Lacey was first taken to Memorial Medical Center in Savannah, Georgia, where David Capello called about 30 medical centers around the country in an effort to obtain treatment for his patient. but without success. Lacy's family meanwhile called the office of U.S. Representative Ronald Bojan, Democrat of Georgia, who then called Governor Busby. Governor Busby called the Baltimore City Hospital and agreed to put up $50,000 in state funds as a collateral. The governor said that to save the life, we've got to do whatever needs to be done. Imagine that. 30 hospitals refuse aid to a man near death from an accidental burning. Congressman Jen and Governor Busby of Georgia are to be commended for their humanitarian actions. It would seem that humanism had an opportunity to show its real colors, at least in some phase of its profession, which has as its theme the whole of life itself is for man himself. 30 hospitals refuse aid to a man near death caused by accident. Humanitarian? I tell you, my friend, true Christianity cares about human beings. A good example is found in the Bible, which humanists reject, of course, as antiquated and a myth. Nevertheless, it is true. The Good Samaritan was cited by Jesus as a man who put into practice the true principles of Christianity. You may read about that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Christianity, which cares for humanity, not a form of atheistic humanism, which really doesn't care that much for humanity, evidently.